Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Real Talk with THB. I truly thank you for tuning in, and I want to also thank my audience and viewership for your support, your emails, and to some of my sponsors, Your Health and Healing, in particular, at yourhealthandhealing.com, and also my sponsor, The Voice of Rhema Ministries, by Arthur Troy L. Marshbanks, who's also a pastor. That was the diva herself, Beyonce, who is the topic of this brief broadcast. My aim and goal tonight is to speak quite candidly about the drama and the issues that have come along with Beyonce's fame. So tonight I don't want anyone to believe or think I am inadvertently or deliberately trying to attack or seem personally spiteful in any of my opinions. I am not a Beyonce hater by any means. I will be putting forth, but just specifically dealing with what her fans and critics observe and have been reacting to. So this is what we're talking about tonight, the Beyonce drama. And I am doing this this primarily, again, because of the women's issues that are part of who Beyonce is in a male-domineering industry, which must sell her image just as any female in the movies must contend with. If you have ever read such biographies such as Betty Davis, Joan Collins, Dorothy Dandridge, Billie Holiday, and Elizabeth Taylor, the idea of being a sexual icon makes money. Who we see these artists as is obscured to a certain degree by a constructed reality. But in Beyonce's case, she has stated even most recently that the public eye is stressful and the pressure is surreal to her at times. With all that aside, I must ask myself, as you have probably asked yourself, who's in charge of who you are at the end of the day? Who is ultimately in charge of your image at the end of the day? Well, of course, in Beyonce's case, she is. Yet one thing is clear. Beyonce is a talented superstar performer. She has a voice that's not stellar, but she has a voice. And she has uncanny skills in her family to market her. Yes, again, her singing is okay. It's not stellar. But she has enough of a reputable voice to make watching and observing her on stage an enjoyable experience. So her career as an artist is commendable. But in the last few years, Beyonce either needs a better publicist or a team of consultants that can decide for her what's important to respond to in the media and what is not. Her vanity at times seems a little reckless. And I'm talking about her lip-syncing in particular at this moment, the lip-syncing episode that occurred when she performed for President Obama's inauguration. So what, America? She lip-synced. This is becoming too common. It was no big deal to me. It was not a deal-breaker. It wasn't a travesty. She has been performing for years, probably a little bit more than a decade. She has solidified herself in stardom in the music industry. So what, that she lip-synced? She has proven time and time again that she can perform and that she can sing. Now, some people were saying Kelly Clarkson didn't lip-sync, and she did phenomenally. So what? Kelly Clarkson is not a wife. She is not a mother of a little toddler, and she does not have the superstar schedule Beyonce has to juggle. And I'm not trying to justify any of this for Beyonce, but I'm putting those things in perspective for the critique here. So when Beyonce commented on this after the incident of the lip syncing, and some other artists like J-Lo came to her rescue and agreed that in the business, sometimes lip syncing is necessary. I thought it should have been left alone at that point. It had been talked about enough. There were people in her corner in the industry who were standing beside her decision to lip sync. So let's just leave it alone and move on. Mainly because she was going to perform at the Super Bowl the following week. I just said, just blow the stage up then. Blow the stage up. Perform magnificently on stage at the Super Bowl. And that will be the end of it. Leave no stage up there. But no, Beyonce had to prove a point and re-sing the song, the national anthem, at the Super Bowl conference. This blew my mind. Because some of us have grown habitually indifferent to the criticism that comes her way. And maybe I felt that she was growing habitually indifferent to it as well. But oh no, I guess not. And she seemed bitterly offended and decided, erroneously, may I add, to re-sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl conference. Now, this is my point. If it had been a lovely rendition, Whitney Houston style, sort of, I would be giving a different opinion to you all at this moment because I would have no alternative. However, it was an awful performance. It was awful. Her voice seemed strained, husky, unable to carry a tune of length or range, and it was exhausting for me to watch. I honestly believe if Beyonce had prayed about this ordeal with the lip syncing and all the people speaking about it that was getting to her, if she had prayed about it and maybe consulted seriously with her team instead of letting her ego in this matter drag her forcibly out into the madhouse of unsuspecting, roomy-eyed cynics, she would have been the better for it. But this sadly was not the case. I was highly dismayed at this performance, which fueled the peanut gallery with more bombs to throw her way. And in this case, it was deservingly so. That rendition of the national anthem is one you can put down in your notes as one not to listen to. It was just a poor performance. And that's it in a nutshell, dealing with her redoing the national anthem and the lip-syncing drama that went on there. Yet, the most stirring upsets in any drama associated with Beyonce has been her pregnancy. Why? Because most people and her adoring fans alike know without a doubt and have always known that Beyonce's body is her selling point and her beauty is her selling point. She has stepped up her gyrating on stage and pole dancing with dangling phallic-shaped objects in her mouth, teasing her hair, and licking her lips perpetually during her performances in these scantily clothes to convey one message, and one message only, sex. This is her moneymaker, and we're not naive to that. Yes, she is in the entertainment business, but she is also married. I don't see a godly man, a man with some morals here, even though he's in the entertainment industry, letting his wife, because that's the relationship status now, place her crotch all in the camera every time she's on stage. But I don't know what Jay-Z's personal relationship is with God. I don't know. Or Beyonce's. But in Beyonce's lifestyle, we are met with too many contradictions and paradoxes. One minute you value your privacy, the next you're announcing you're pregnant to millions of people at a highly publicized award show. And that's okay. But from the minute this was circulated and went viral on the web, I was and I am still a skeptic about Beyonce having a baby. Pin me to the wall, crucify me. I'm standing firm on that. I am a skeptic of Beyonce having a baby. I have heard her respond to it, and but it wasn't convincing. Even the documentary, she is looking down and away from the camera to denounce and repeat this rumor. There's never any eye contact as she talks into the camera as on the documentary, especially dealing with this. When I felt if you were trying to drive a point home with this in particular, I thought eye contact should have been there, dead on, to talk specifically to us that this is nonsense about me having a surrogate. I would have been dead on, straight in your face. This is nonsense. But let's put that aside. Who rents out a suite in a hospital to give birth? There has been many stellar and elite pregnancies in the luminary world. Jennifer Lopez, Mariah Carey, Angelina Jolie, to name a few. And they looked pregnant. And if you want to talk about keeping a body up, J-Lo is very fit. She did a lot of dancing and entertaining on stage. So we wanted to look at someone who could stand alongside Beyonce and compare the pregnancy ordeal, the looks of the body. We could use J-Lo. But these people actually gained weight, showed the awkward figures that become part of a pregnant woman's frame near her stomach area, but not Beyonce. Her stomach looked too perfectly round and padded. She never seemed bloated in the face. Sometimes she'd tease her hair out all over her head and look like she was trying to look like she was carefree, and her hair was a little teased out like she was having a bad pregnancy day. But you never heard her talk about breastfeeding, swelling feet, morning sickness. One time we heard her mention some cravings, but that was way after the birth. But only once did you hear about that, this dream. Who dreams up a tale such as someone fabricating a pregnancy? There was just too much to observe here. Again, these other ladies showed us signs physically that they were pregnant. You could tell. You had the feeling in your gut instinctively that these other ladies and other movie stars were pregnant. Then we see the footage of her stomach deflate that was on the Australian channel that went viral and everyone was talking about it. It was quite a disturbing image that never goes away in regards to this topic. In the documentary, she is seen in a dark, slowly, she's in the dark turning on her side so we can see, get a glimpse of her stomach and how large it is. I almost laughed at the attempt to beguile us. Okay, you can get almost pornographically visual with videos, but when all the Hollywood mommies-to-be are showing their stomachs, you show us yours in the shadowy bowels of the night. No, I am not trying to sound exaggerative by any means, but this is what I mean by the contradictions and the paradoxes of her behavior. It does not add up. Also, even in the documentary, when at the very end Beyonce is holding her daughter, Blue Ivy, I did not feel instinctively that there was a bond there. It was like she held her for a minute for the camera, then it was like, okay, somebody come get her and put her back up. It was weird to me. It was just, I was watching this. She would coo-coo with the baby, and then she hands the baby back. When that would have been the perfect time to just end the show, holding the baby, making the baby wave bye-bye. But it was a cameo, and it was a quick shot, but there didn't seem to be much passion really about having this baby and this connection that you see other mothers have with their children, even in front of the camera. And it was just weird to me. Now, I'm sure after Beyonce's miscarriage, her and Jay-Z wanted a baby. It makes the term family and marriage a complete concept, the whole baby image. It makes the word happiness, the word happy, sound more genuine to the public when we're looking at couples. I'm sure they wanted a baby for this reason, but I'm sorry. Beyonce is about her career, and that's it. The baby is an attempt to say, I have it all. And that's what that was all about. Now, finally, I do want to talk a little bit about the documentary. Now, when you think about it, when she came to the public scrutiny's table, it was dealing with the documentary because there's been so much going on lately with her and people criticizing her. And then the documentary is aired right after the Super Bowl. Everything is in time, synced and strategically placed out there to keep her in the limelight. But again, it's not good. Some of it's not good. Life is but a dream. That's the documentary, which aired on HBO. Surely everyone tuned in to learn something they didn't know, get a hold of some juicy gossip, or maybe get some clarity on something they may have misunderstood from the media, or to just get her take on her life or in situations in her life that we maybe weren't clear on. As I said, get some clarity. Yet this did not happen. For the landmark ratings and viewership that HBO received, which eclipsed Spike Lee's when the levees broke, for the most part, many were disappointed. This was not a documentary. The March of the Penguins is a documentary. The Tyson documentary, that's a documentary. And The Search for Sugar Man, which is an excellent documentary, which is out now, that's a documentary. Documentaries are in-depth, they're probing, they're investigative, and they are very, very revealing. They cover things that the average person wouldn't get from reading all the articles in the world about somebody. That's what a documentary does. This should have been called A Day in the Life of Beyonce, a journal, so to speak. It lacked significantly, very significantly, in structure and topic. We learned nothing about her life as a child. There was no footage of old school teachers talking about teaching her in school. There was no old photos of her and Kelly Rowland growing up. There was nothing about the trio as their mother and father, Beyonce's mother and father, marketed them to Star Search and all that drama. We didn't get to see any of that or any narration about that. We see nothing about the scandals of her father having an illegitimate child and the divorce that he went through with Beyonce's mother. We get nothing about that, nothing about why Destiny Child broke up and what all was in particular happened there, why they decided to go on their own. We know it's for Beyonce's sake, but we didn't get anything to clear that up. We get no interviews from Jay-Z and how they met and how he loved her. We got nothing from him, and we got nothing from singers that have worked with her to testify that she is great to tour with, despite all the other allegations of negativity that we've heard about that. All we had was an errant, meandering dialogue of her speaking about working as a woman in the industry. We had a great and emotional toast footage of Jay-Z's birthday party. I thought that was an emotional clip. And we had lots of clips of her performing on stage. But again, a documentary, no. And even as a journal, it would miss the mark as far as the level of interest that these millions of people tuned in to get from her as a superstar. But she's never been too vocal about too many things. But again, there's just too many contradictions as far as what the public wants to see and what they're getting. Now, although I still enjoyed parts of the documentary, like I said earlier, it was sorely lacking. And I realized Beyonce is steadily racking her brains to find ways to keep people interested in her and her career. So she can stay on top as the diva. But this was not a vanity trip, as some have called it. I don't think this documentary, it didn't seem to ring vain narcissism to me. But it was an attempt for her to seem like basically explain who she is, but failed miserably. For people to continue tuning in to her future exposés like this, some revelations about Beyoncé will have to be informative. They will have to have the boom factor. And what I mean by that, they will have to be staggeringly interesting, something we never would have thought. Now, I know other talk show hosts were saying they enjoyed it. I've listened to some shows on air with people going, oh, it was a good show and all this. But I sense that's more out of loyalty. Who wants to say the documentary stunk? They are a big, popular talk show host, especially in the black community. They don't want to be the one saying, oh, but you said that about Beyoncé. It was for Beyoncé's sake that these people did not say that. But, yeah, I would say this reminds me of her role in Dreamgirls. People were saying she deserved an award. She's not an actor. And the film did not merit more than 3 stars. I think the public is a cruel monster. The paparazzi is a maiming beast. But the truth is what it is, and I'm loyal to my opinion. Beyoncé is a strong talent. She's one to reckon with. She has skills to market herself. She's beautiful. She has a beautiful body. And she's also a woman who seeks to be a perfectionist. But she is not perfect. And this is part of the drama in her life that will continue to be in it as long as she continues to be a high-profile artist whose ego gets in the way of her better judgment. We are out of time. I thank you all for listening. I'm going to cut this short. This is Real Talk with THB, and I thank you for joining me. Until next time, I'll see you then. Be blessed.